Okay, Jeff, why don't we start? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Sensei.
Looks like we're starting a new adventure, sort of exciting in a way. And Jeff and the other folks at the Zendo, thanks for all your work in getting us set there technologically. I was thinking about Zen last week. You know, all the contributions that this practice and Zen itself has made. Three treasures, the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, goes on and on and on, all the famous teachers, Dogen, and on and on. And so the question that popped into my head of all the different things that Zen has offered from the Buddha on down, what would I pick as the most significant contribution? And almost immediately, my answer was Zazen. And I think with all the other teachings only come to life if we practice Zazen. Otherwise, it's a lot of interesting intellectual theories. But if we sit, if we do this practice that we call Zazen, life comes to life and the teachings come to life. So I'm going to say a few words about Zazen, taking into account that Zazen is a body-mind practice. The body and all the aspects of our physiological functioning affect how well we sit. So I could start off by saying that Zazen is the most simple and direct expression of our practice. And Dogen says if there's the slightest discrepancy, the way is as distant as heaven from earth. So how does this discrepancy arise? And so if we sit Zazen, we will get the answer to that question. So Zazen is both the means to realize the way and to express the way. And those two aspects exist at the same time. So they're one. I went to an ophthalmologist recently, so somehow this metaphor came to mind when I was writing this talk. It's sort of like seeing. We have two eyes, and when we see, though, we don't experience it as two eyes seeing. The experience is just, it feels like, well, it's not even one eye, it's just seeing. So there's not a left eye, there's not a right eye. And if something happens to one of our eyes, it disturbs the sense of just seeing. It creates, as Dogen would say, a discrepancy. And the discrepancy affects, of course, the harmony of our eyes. And so that's the same thing as what I just mentioned, those two aspects. Now, sometimes we see that we practice Zazen to attain the way, to attain enlightenment. And actually, the idea of attainment can wind up being a big obstacle in our practicing Zazen. And the reason for that is there is nothing to attain. When we practice, we realize that and surrender to the realization that all we need is right here, right now. All we need is in ourselves. There's nothing to chase after. We need to realize that, though. We need to experience that we are perfect and complete just as we are. Again, it's all here right now. Everything we need is right here, right in the room that you're in, right in the being that you reside in. A few days ago, I realized I didn't know where my glasses were. So I looked all over the place. I went from room to room, turned each room upside down. I asked Faye if she had seen them. I went and looked in the car. Finally, I sat down and I figured I would do this systematically. So I closed my eyes and I tried to visualize everywhere that I had been that day that I might have left my glasses. And nothing came to mind. And it was sort of getting frustrating trying to find my glasses. And so finally, I just sat back in the chair and I surrendered. And I figured, well, I think I have another pair of glasses. And in that moment, I realized I had the glasses on my head, just like this. And that was to me a metaphor for what I'm talking about. It's all here right now. We just don't see it. So Maizumi Roshi said, no matter how long you sit, the Buddha Dharma never appears because it's always right here. So Zazen is revelatory. It reveals the truth of who you already are, who you have been all along. It's nothing fancy, right? It's just this, just the truth of who you are. So Dogen said, to realize the self, I've heard this many times, to realize the self is to forget the self. And to forget the self is to be enlightened by the 10,000 things. And the truth of it is that you are, I am the 10,000 things which we have been all along. We are everything and everyone, and it's been that way all along, just like the glasses on my head. And so the 10,000 things include everything without preference, including yourself. So I wrote a little haiku about this without preference. Bronze garden Buddha sitting serenely covered in bird crap. So the Buddha is not always perfect and clean. The Buddha can be covered in, at least the bronze Buddha can be covered in bird dung. So you are the garden Buddha. If you create no discrepancy, you have been a garden Buddha all along, nothing fancy. So that basically is talking about Zazen from the point of view of working with mind. And this is a very brief explanation or talk about it. It's like a toe in the water. It's got a lot of depth. A lot can be said about it and taught about it. But for the purposes of a Dharma talk like this, it's just short. But there are many books, there are tons of YouTube videos that go into it in more depth by a variety of teachers. So anyway, that's the one aspect of the mind-body. That's working or being with mind. There are three attributes that support our practice of Zazen. The one, and I think you've heard of these before, the first is great faith. And great faith means believing without any doubt that you are intrinsically awake, that you are complete as you are. You are like a huge tree firmly planted in the ground, immovable, even in the strongest gale. The second is great doubt. And great doubt is to accept that you know nothing. At the bottom of great doubt lies great awakening. If you doubt fully, you will awaken fully. Not knowing clears the path for awakening to occur. So not knowing is really our friend. And if you recall the koan from the Mumin Khan, not knowing is most intimate. So it begins with what happens when we realize we don't know. But if we surrender to that, if we surrender, then our doubt disappears. But it does provoke this letting go of knowing. And then the third is great determination. And great determination turns toward rather than away from. It doesn't shy away from what is difficult. It is steady and confident. So it's important to remember, though, no one fully embodies these characteristics, but we must use every opportunity to cultivate them. As a Sangha, we support each other in this pursuit. So as I said, Zazen is a body-mind practice. So regarding the physical aspect of it. Now, the place that I'm starting is in terms of preparing ourselves for Zazen in a physical way, in a body way. The position we assume when we sit affects the quality of our Zazen. Taking the correct, stable sitting position helps maintain a mind that is still. Even subtle movements that we may not even be aware of can activate our minds. So a stable base is a very important place to start. And the five Zazen sitting positions, which you all know, but I'll just repeat them for purposes of this talk, are the full lotus, the half lotus, the Burmese sitting position, seiza, that's on a bench on your knees, and the fifth is a chair. Now, these are listed in order of stability, but we should all remember that this is a guideline and that there have been innumerable students who have experienced awakening to their true nature without sitting in the full lotus position. So this is, as I said, it's just a guideline. Now, we could spend all morning just talking and practicing, physically practicing about the sitting position. But again, we're not set up right now to do that, and it would take a fair amount of time. So also, a correct body position permits the body energy to flow freely, and this creates a dynamic energy for sitting. Now, the next aspect of Zazen is breathing. And breathing is at the core of doing Zazen. The breath is a vital energy force and is intimately related to awareness. And when you are nervous, you'll know that you breathe quickly and shallowly. And when the breath is relaxed, it's more deep, easy, and effortless. So how does our breath come into play when we're doing Zazen? Now, the hara is considered the body's energy center, and it's located about 2 inches below the navel. And when sitting, you can bring your attention to the hara. If you want to do an alternative, you can focus on the physical sensation of your breath, which flows in and out as your belly rises and falls. And to go back to the hara, I left a piece out, you can place your attention there on the breath as it rises and falls in the hara. So that's on the hara. And the second one is focusing on the physical sensation of the body breathing. So as this continues, we get to the point where we become the breath itself. There's no longer anyone watching or feeling the breath. There is no breath. There are no longer any thoughts to separate the observer from the breath. And also, when the thoughts appear, we are taught to acknowledge it's just a thought and let it go and return to the breath. And we also know that when the thoughts appear, we're taught to acknowledge its appearance and to let it go and go back to the breath. And this may occur in our life of Zazen thousands and thousands of times. Returning to the breath is obviously very important, because these thousands of times we are slowly and subtly teaching ourselves to pay attention and to not get consumed by or run away from thoughts and emotions. So it's thoughts and also feelings. And as you develop this skill, going back, going back, going back, you are slowly teaching yourself, as we say in Zen, to go straight ahead without distraction. So again, doing this practice will not get distracted or thrown off balance by our mental activity. And also our sitting will become deeper, because you will have changed your relationship with thinking. It will no longer have so much power over you. Now, there are other influences on the practice of Zazen that affect the state of our body. I'm going to name just a few. The first is stimulants like coffee or tea. Particularly before sitting, it can increase your heart rate, your breathing, and the activity of your mind. And of course, then these can affect the quality of your Zazen. The second one is diet, exercise, and sleep. Anything that supports a healthy body supports and has a positive effect, again, on our Zazen. The third is the amount of stress that you are experiencing can also affect the sitting. And it also can affect, stress can also affect the ability to concentrate, to pay attention. And then the fourth thing that I wrote down was another thing that can influence the well-being, your physical well-being, is the support that you have for your practice. It affects us both emotionally and physically to know that somebody is in our corner. And this is why the Sangha is so important, in that we support each other and we have that inherent feeling in ourselves that we are supported. The support and the things that I'm saying are not, I mean, they may sound negative, but if you look at them another way, these are all very positive things that we can accommodate, and it'll help our practice. The last thing that I want to mention is that these things that I just talked about, stimulants, diet and exercise, amount of stress and support, it works two ways. They can affect our practice, but if we practice diligently, we can bring those things to life. We can fulfill the need for those things. So practicing Zazen is a way of helping us work with stress. It helps us calm the body. It helps us be more centered so that we can work with stress, be with stress in a more productive way. The awareness that comes out of Zazen allows us to realize just how, for example, coffee or tea can interrupt or change our sitting. And so we postpone it until a different time of day. The same thing, if we are awake, if we are paying attention to our lives, we can appreciate how our diet and how exercise and how important sleep is. So again, our practice is bringing our awareness to how we are living our life. And the final aspect of this awareness, this being attentive, is that we can, from this place of awakeness, take care of each other, support each other, and be that kind of a sangha. So as I said earlier, this is sort of a cursory discussion of Zazen, but I think of all the things, as I said, that Buddhism offers, Zazen is really the heart of it and the most important. Thank you.